Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and this morning we're going to have our special feature in which we read from the Rock Cliff Review, and that is the bulletin we pass out to everyone that attends the Sunday morning services. And in that bulletin, there's always featured an article that usually plays right into the sermon that is preached that morning. And the bulletin in the Rock Cliff Review on the particular Sunday morning which this bulletin was produced, the title of that article is "The World Turned Upside Down." And it comes from a passage in Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 1, where it says, "Behold, Jehovah maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof." Now, here's how the article was written. Political power shifts in our nation's capital often leaves many feeling that our world is being turned upside down. It is not a pleasant feeling. The Jews in Thessalonica had this unpleasant feeling about the preaching of Paul and Silas. They cried to the rulers of their city, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also," Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. It has been laconically said that the preaching of the gospel was actually turning the world right side up. Isaiah spoke of his world being turned upside down. In Isaiah 24 and verse 1, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down." Isaiah is talking about the Lord's judgment that would come on the nations through the rise of the Assyrians, followed by the rise of the Babylonians, followed by the rise of the Persians. The world they knew would be as a vessel turned upside down, with its contents emptied out and scattered. Here Isaiah, as he says, "The Lord maketh the earth empty, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken his word." Isaiah chapter 24, verses 1 and 3. This would be a great societal leveling, for it will be, for all will be brought down together. Hear the words of the prophet, "And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so of the giver of usury to him." Isaiah 24:2. It will not be pleasant. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Isaiah 24, verses 4 through 5. The joy they had from their wine will be gone. It says in Isaiah 24, verses 6 through 12, "Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are found guilty. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, and all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabrets cease, and the noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The waste city is broken down. Every house is shut up, and no man may come in. And there's crying in the streets because of the wine. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. The city is left in desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. The land will be picked clean as an olive tree, and the vine following the harvest of the gleaning." Isaiah will feel the woe with his countrymen. He said, I said, my leanness, woe unto me, Isaiah 24:16. But there will be no escape. In Isaiah 24:17-18, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth, and it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare, for the windows on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth do tremble. So devastating will this judgment be. It is described in terms similar to the great flood of Noah's day. The windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do tremble. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly, and the economy that they had known shall fall and not rise again, Isaiah 24:20. And the rulers will be removed. In verses 21 through 22 of Isaiah 24 we read, and it shall come to pass in that day that Jehovah will punish the host of the high ones on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. However, the judgment would bring glory to God. Now the reason for this judgment is clearly stated. In Isaiah 24:5-6 and Isaiah 24:16 we read, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. And again, the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. And that is because of their unrighteousness this judgment came. This judgment would bring glory to God. In the midst of this woeful prophecy, Isaiah says, they shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth we have heard songs, even glory to the righteous. Isaiah 24:14-16. And at the end of the chapter he says this, the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Isaiah's reference to the reign of the Lord in Mount Zion reminds us of the mountains of the Lord's house in Isaiah 2:2. And the songs he heard from the uttermost part of the earth remind us that all nations shall flow into it. It is not wise to be dogmatic when expounding Isaiah, but we know that the kingdom of God was established in Jerusalem after these judgments. We read that in Acts 2. And we know that our Lord told his apostles that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, Acts 1:8. Sometimes the Lord turns the world upside down that he might turn it right side up by the gospel. We need to preach the word. And so, if you had been attending at Rock Cliff that Sunday morning, well, that's the gist of the sermon that you would have heard. We read from the Rock Cliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we are studying in this radio Bible school are Sunday school notes that were prepared many years ago by a preacher named Elam, E-A-Elam. And we're currently looking at a lesson on the baptism of Jesus from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In this regular course of study, we have come to Mark chapter 1 and verse 7, where Mark wrote that he preached, now this is John the Baptist, preached, saying, "There cometh after me he that is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose." In his preaching, John said, "There cometh after me he that is mightier than I." He said this in answer to the question which arose in the hearts of the people, whether he were the Christ or not. We read about this in the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through, 15 through 18, I believe it is, where it says, "The people were in expectation, and all men reasoned in their hearts concerning John, whether haply he were the Christ. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh he that is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire, whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly to cleanse his threshing floor, and to gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, therefore, preached he the good tidings to the people." This one that was mightier than John was Christ. He considered himself unworthy to loose the latchets of Christ's shoes. Unloosing one shoe latchet was a humble service. Slaves among Jews and Greeks and Romans put off and put on and took off and carried shoes of their masters. It may have been done sometimes as a voluntary and humble service. John calls himself the friend of the bridegroom, John 3:29-30, and was happy to sustain this relationship to Jesus, and said of Jesus that Jesus must increase while he would decrease. John baptized, Acts 19:4, with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Jesus. And in Mark chapter 1 and verse 8, he said of Jesus, "He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit." Christ would overwhelm their souls in the Holy Spirit, as John had baptized their bodies in water. And this came to pass on the day of Pentecost, just after Christ's ascension into heaven. And the only other time we read of anything similar to that is found in Acts chapter 10, when the Holy Spirit came directly upon Cornelius and his household. Now Matthew in Matthew chapter 3 and Luke in Luke chapter 3 give a fuller account of John's speech on this point. Matthew and Luke speak of the baptism in fire. And it seems clear from the fact that the chaff and the wheat will be separated and the chaff burned with unquenchable fire, and from the omission of baptism in fire and the promise of the Holy Spirit when Jesus was speaking to his disciples alone, that burning the chaff with unquenchable fire is a baptism in fire. At the end of the world, the good, the wheat, will be gathered into the garner of eternal salvation, and the wicked, which is the chaff, will be burned in unquenchable fire. We do not want that baptism of fire to escape the baptism of fire. We are baptized in water.